Oh, well. Happy fucking happy hour. It's fucking Mary Lou Henner, fucking force of nature.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Good morning. Get right up on that microphone,
okay,
Mary Lou
of
Henner.
Of course, of course, of course. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God.
God
I'm
like
so excited. Mary Lou Henner is drinking
sake.
Drinking sake,
because
everybody.
That's my drink, that and tequila.
You need to turn
my box up.
You need to turn my box up, Sean, whenever you get a chance. Okay. So we're Aaron's late, so we're just, because we're so excited you're here. We just had to start. You know why?
Because
you start telling fucking stories about taxi and shit. And I'm like, don't say that until we start.
Okay.
First of all, you are, because I remember when you used to be on the regular radio show, even in the morning, I felt like you could like climb up the walls like Spider-Man. I felt like you didn't even use the elevator. You just have more energy than
And I brought my kids, remember? I brought them on the way to school.
I know.
That was so cute.
Because they're good little liberal kids.
They are. They're so, my son, right now, he just graduated from Columbia.
From college.
A week ago.
Nicely done. Nicely done, ma'am. Wow.
And the other one is a sophomore at Northwestern in Chicago.
You're from Chicago.
I'm from Chicago.
Wow.
Yeah, the north side. Yeah. I went to University of Chicago, but my son chose Northwestern.
Aw.
That's okay.
My nephew went there. Fantastic.
Oh, Northwestern?
Yes.
Yeah. Did he like it?
He loved it.
Everybody loves it. It's so good. I'm so happy.
Yeah. He's an actor. He's been on Veep. He's been on all kinds of stuff.
Wow.
He's fantastic.
What's his name?
Paul Fitzgerald.
Cool.
He's fantastic. All right. Where do we start?
We might have to do two podcasts in a row because there's so much for us to talk about.
Yeah.
You're a Great Lakes girl. You're a Buffalo girl.
I'm from, first of all, let's talk about your freaky fucking memory.
Okay.
Because what's the name of it?
It's called Highly Superior Autobiographical Memory.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And when I say you're a giant freak, you know I mean that in the nice
way. I know. I'm also used to you now. Yeah. Yes.
But no, you've been on all kinds of shows for this.
Oh, yeah. 60 Minutes, six times, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they do testing on us. I mean, there's like a small group of us, but
the
testing is ongoing. I just did some of it like a few weeks ago.
Right.
And what they've done is they've wired us, put us through an MRI. They ask us questions. They see how it all fires up. They've taken 300 measurements of our brains, and they have found 9 areas 10 times larger than the normal brain.
That is wow.
It's really weird when
because
you see
them. I found out by accident because I was like, oh, Mary Lou, it's so good to see you. I saw you. Then you're like at the thing for the taping and you were wearing a green sweater and it was this date and this was the time. And I was like,
yeah.
Seriously?
Do you remember when we met? No.
On the set of that show.
It was a show.
Cooking green show something.
Yes, it was. It was. It was ahead of its time. It was Tom Bergeron. Look at how well he's done.
Right.
That's right.
Supper Club. Something.
Yeah.
It was a bunch of celebrities or whoever.
First.
Well, you're a celebrity. I'm a
eight. Yeah.
Well, dinner conversation sitting around. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Dennis Prager was on too. Remember? He was on that.
That's right. Sadly, I do remember.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Speaking of shows, I know we're jumping all over, but
that's okay.
You were on Celebrity Apprentice.
I know.
And got fired by Donald Trump.
Twice. Okay. November 1st, 2007, November 8th, 2012.
Okay. Yes. Did you ever think that we'd be sitting here going, so Mary Lou, Republican nominee Donald Trump for president.
You know, he's the ultimate project manager, I think, of the Republican Party. He wants to win. He just wants to win. I don't even know if he wants to be president as much as he just wants to win.
Yes, right.
You know? It's pretty crazy.
This is not good news for America, for the world, do you think?
It's just,
if you and your kids are my fans, you have to be a liberal. So
Yeah. No, of course. No, and I grew up in Chicago, and actually our dancing school, which was in our backyard because it was a fake garage, a dancing school, it was where people came to vote in my neighborhood, and my mom was a precinct captain for the Democratic Party.
Started dancing at two, so did you give a little plié and give people their ballot?
Absolutely. Yes.
You did,
I did something.
Here's a little Mary Lou.
A little arabesque, actually.
Arabesque.
A little, Sinead turned to an arabesque. That's what I did. Yeah.
So, anyway.
it's pretty, wow. I mean, I just hope, I adore his daughter and I really think she's unbelievable. Ivanka. And she is, I hope that she's going to be the moral compass for him if it all comes to pass.
Let's go back. What was he like to work around with on the Celebrity Apprentice?
Oh, he was a blast to work with. I mean, he was, really fun. I'm not kidding you. I mean, that's his.
He could be our party president, basically.
He could be, the architect. Yeah. Not the architect, he was a lot of fun, and he was in it. I saw him at 6 a.m. I saw him at 11:30 at night, and he was always, love the smell of.
And he said every
business in the morning.
He said every contestant that was ever on Apprentice flirted with him. Would that be the case? Did you want him? Did you want to see that little? Did you want to see that tiny Cheeto dick? To be honest with me. Did you?
No. But he's a flirty person, you know. Right. I mean, I this has not surprised me
right.
at all in terms of his scenario.
Right.
It has surprised me at how everybody else
and by
everyone else's scenario.
Flirty, you mean hypocritical serial philanderer? I'm just. I don't mean to be leading you into this.
I don't know if Melania is the kind of woman you cheat on. Has he been?
But he's cheated before many times. It's well, admittedly, yeah, yes. Yeah, he's on his third marriage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so am I. Let's not cast stones.
No, I'm not throwing stones at you. Yeah. I'm saying he's throwing stones at Bill Clinton now.
Yes,
right.
Of course.
Who's on his technically first marriage?
Charismatic.
Yeah. Right.
And flirty. And
I said that today on the air. I know straight guys want to fuck him.
Oh my god.
My gay girlfriend at the time wanted to fuck him.
He is. He like has a way of talking to you where you're the only person that exists in the room and you can't believe it. And it's like, oh my god!
I just met him this summer.
And oh, really?
I
swear for the first time?
Yeah,
I'm shocked.
For the first time.
And
I met
now
him.
He's vegan too, so he smells even better.
Oh, does he? Well, you notice that kind of stuff. Yes. He smells like
He smells
like quinoa and freedom.
Yeah. Well, I haven't really spent much time with him since he's become vegan.
Yeah, but he is like that. I watched him with the guy right before me. Like, you'll tell him one thing, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I remember that guy. Yeah. Here's a funny story about him that maybe you don't know. And you just, like, the person, like, he feels like, you feel like the most important person in the world.
In the room.
He
yes,
was like,
you
oh, yeah, your dad, man, go water. You know, here's something maybe I didn't know.
Come on, Joey Sherman's going to be upset with you doing that voice. We have the same throat doctor. That was only the second
That's
time
how
ever seen
I got this booked.
I
right,
know.
Right, Sean? Because I ran into her at the throat doctor.
That's right. I completely got, like, laryngitis. I was traveling and not taking great care of myself in terms of like airplanes and water and all that stuff. Yeah. And,
I thought maybe you got too close to a piece of cheese or something.
No. Like gosh, no, not since August 15th, 1979.
You used to terrify us when you came in. Because you were like, who's been eating meat and cheese?
The place always smelled like salami and stuff like that. Yeah,
I don't
for sure.
Salami, but okay.
Well, somebody was.
No, but you have actually a fascinating story that we've talked about. Now, well, I'm sorry. That was a horrible way to. This is the worst segue in the history.
Okay, here we go. You can get whiplash from that segue.
Both of your parents died.
Oh, my God. We go from Trump to Clinton to my dead parents.
Sorry.
So as my brother says, I think it's time to talk about this. Should we put the dead parents thing in the...
But anyway, because you're so super healthy, but because your parents both died in their 50s, this is why you said this motivated you. Because
yes.
You don't...
What? Oh, no. Their deaths could not be in vain. I mean, I was just going to... do something
but you so
it.
You don't tell people what you're doing because you're on your 10th book
okay
right.
So I started to tell you the show, you were like rah, shut
yeah,
up you
sorry.
Know zip
sorry,
it up
sorry.
Okay shut the fuck up. All right, so this is what happened. This is my book that's out right now. So my third and final husband,
right.
The way we got together was we knew each other in college. He was my roommate's boyfriend.
Oh.
I didn't dare twinkle in his direction, but he was like so adorable from the University of Chicago. He had long hair and he looked kind of like Heathcliff. But
you can't help your twinkling. You just
twinkle. I know. So anyway, I'm so mad I didn't bring the book with me because you would not believe the pictures because you'd see me.
It's called Changing Normal.
Well, and it's not like not called Changing Normal. I'm going to give the rest of the title because this is the story. But so my husband and I knew each other in college, roommate's boyfriend, didn't dare twinkle. They broke up second year. We waved across campus. That was it.
Oh.
Then I became a professional actress third year. Time passes. I get on Taxi. I'm marrying my co-star from a movie that I'm doing with Francis Ford Coppola. I'm in a courthouse in New Orleans. I run into Michael.
This is almost everyone's story, by the way.
I know. Ships passing. Like, oh my gosh. And like, oh, what are you doing here? Oh, I'm going around the world. I'm cutting through the building. That's what he's saying. I'm a merchant seaman. I'm here with my wife and children living in New Orleans now. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting married.
I'm sorry. He's a merchant seaman?
Merchant seaman.
That sounds dirty, but I don't know what it is.
I don't either.
What's a merchant seaman?
He decided after University of Chicago, he was a geography major. And what he wanted to do was he wanted to, like, see the world.
Okay.
So he decided that he wanted to be like a young man. He was a Mormon from Utah.
Wow.
Jack Mormon from Utah. Had spent, you know, and wanted to like see the world. So that's what he did. Identical twin. So he wanted to be different from his brother, all those things.
Okay.
So anyway, so we run into each other and nothing, like all I'm thinking is how come I'm not marrying a guy like that, which doesn't bode well for my first marriage, which is 2 years long.
Right.
My second marriage, we're together 16 years.
Okay.
And out of nowhere, 6 months after my second divorce,
right.
Michael calls me out of nowhere.
Right.
I can't believe it. We're like, you know, oh right. my God, within a week we're saying, I love you. We're going to spend the rest of our lives together.
No.
2 months into our relationship, he's diagnosed with bladder cancer, and a month and a half later, lung cancer.
Oh my God.
So the book is called Changing Normal, How I Helped My Husband Beat Cancer.
Wow.
So it's our love story kind of woven into, and woven throughout is what he did to put his cancers in remission 12 and a half years now. No chemo, no radiation.
Wow.
And not the major surgery that the doctors were recommending.
And how many years together now?
13.
Wow. Aw, that's, you know what? That calls for some really insincere fake canned applause.
Yes. Okay.
That's a really beautiful story.
No, it's, I know. So, yeah. So it's.
Wow.
Yeah. But I didn't want to tell you the cancer part because you have to build up to that punchline.
Wow. But so tell us about your, because everybody asks you about, because you look amazing. Mm, you have more energy than 16 humans.
Thanks.
No. I did literally the last time when somebody said at the big Clear Channel building, they're like, Mary Lou, sir, I'm like, it's okay. She'll just rappel up the side of the building. Nobody needs to get up. See, there she is. She's outside. She's on the scaffolding. Just like
my kids always say, Mom, you never stop. You know, it's like you're never tired.
Yeah. But what, how do you do it? What do you eat? How do you exercise? People want to know your whole thing.
I don't eat meat, sugar, dairy, you know, no shellfish, no chicken, no things like that. But 99.9% vegan, plant-based for sure. Once in a while, I'll have sushi, I know, because it's like, once in a while, I think I'll eat sushi, like twice a month.
And you eat, and you drink sake,
and
which
I
didn't think you drank that. It relieves me.
Do you drink wine and tequila? Wine doesn't do well with me.
Okay.
It's too yin. It's too expansive. It's too and it's not good for your throat.
Oh, don't I know it.
When I sang on Broadway, they said, do not have any wine. It's very drying. Grapes are drying, so no grapes, no wine.
Right. Yeah. So sake. Tequila.
Sake and tequila. I don't know.
Sean, I'm feeling optimistic because there are some options. I'm like, okay.
I know. You could do it. You two could do it.
So, wait. And I forget. What was the Broadway show? Because I know you've done a bunch. But
Chicago was the one I was just talking about. And I did Annie Get Your Gun and a bunch of other things. Right. Tale of the Allergist's Wife. You know,
You've had quite the career. Now, when you are in New York and you yell taxi, does people automatic? How many jokes do you get? Do people laugh?
Or people come to me and yell taxi. That's what they do. Yeah, but I'll tell you, do you know if you're ever on a television show and you're worried about your career, go to a TSA line because that's all you need.
That's humbling.
I think when they're not watching, not when they're not screening people, everybody in TSA is watching television because I cannot believe, and probably, TV land because more than any other place, I get recognized by TSA people.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Really?
My husband always says, how do they all know you like this? Because it's pretty,
they're in the transportation business, taxi.
taxi, things like that. Yeah. That's where people, I think people get
okay, here's the weird 1 degree of separation with you.
Okay.
You did Celebrity Planets with Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. You did Taxi with Andy Kaufman. You later did Man on the Moon with Andy Kaufman.
Not with him, with Jim Carrey playing Andy Kaufman.
Right, in the movie about him. Okay, do you think Donald Trump is actually Andy Kaufman? Do you think that he's going to pull the mask down and go, thank you very much?
Tony,
and you're like, well, you're fucking with us. We knew you were fucking with us. This is too good. Is there a chance?
No. Okay. No, because they have a different sensibility.
Yeah.
Very different sensibility. Yeah. No, it's
because if Andy is, this is a fucking good one, man. It really was.
You know what? He's probably upset he didn't think of it. But I know Andy's dead because I saw him like a month before he died and he did not look good.
Oh.
Can you believe he's been gone? He died May 16th, 1984. That's 32 years ago. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
Long time. Were you a fan?
I was. What did he die of? I don't remember.
He died of cancer, but I always thought maybe something else was going on.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know Bob Smuda said this in his book, and I kind of felt that too.
Yeah.
That maybe he died of AIDS.
Oh.
I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Not maybe from sexual things, but more from
Was he gay?
Whatever. No, I don't think so. I don't know. I mean, but he was sickly, and he was so, we had to get gamma globin shots and, and stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But there was always something mysterious about how quickly he got sick and what he looked like at the end.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
I don't know. But so that's part of what drives you. I mean, obviously your one parent died of arthritis.
First my father died of a heart attack, a massive heart attack. I was 17 at the time. It was over Christmas vacation of my senior year in high school. And he was, He died of a massive heart attack. Wow. He was 52 years old.
Wow.
And then my mother took ill with arthritis. You know, he had been the love of her life and everything. And I think her body just really took it all in, all the stress. And so then she passed away of rheumatoid arthritis, which you don't really think. Yeah. My mother was literally teaching dancing in December, went to bed with the flu in January. Wow. It was a brutal Chicago winter. So she went to, you know, into the hospital, and then she had her leg amputated in April, and she died in May.
Wow.
She died the night before Mother's Day.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, I got Taxi.
Wow.
So I just
my God.
Like,
so they never
it.
Saw you? They never
no.
saw you?
No. And if I knew then what I know now, I'd be able to probably save her life.
Yeah. Oh, boy. And are you close to people you did Taxi with still?
Oh, my God. All
really?
The time. I
really?
Just had I saw Tony in New York like a week ago. Jim Brooks and I had lunch 3 weeks ago. I mean, we are so close. We all get together. We were at the Jimmy Burrows thing January the 24th.
Yeah.
I think it was on a different time. But we all got together, and we won the rowdiest table award. there were six of us, and we were the most represented.
That does not surprise me.
Oh, my gosh, I just realized something. Jeff Conaway died 5 years ago tomorrow.
Oh, of course you remember that. Wait, let's get back to that. We didn't delve into your freaky memory thing.
Okay.
So when did you first realize you had that?
Oh, I always knew. I mean, well, I knew even as a little girl that I had something unusual compared to the rest of my family. But, you know, when you're like one of six kids, you look for anything that makes you different from your brothers and sisters because you're like cats in a bag. You know, you're like a litter. And so if you have something, a little oddball, you go, oh, yeah, I'll develop that.
I'm a cat in a bag, and we're going to the river. I better
run right to the river, and if I'm not fast, if I don't come up with something, you know, spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
But even, like, my parents' friends would come over and say, hey, what's with that kid in her memory?
What's with your fucking kid?
Yeah, they call me Miss Memory, the memory kid, things like that.
Wow.
So I always knew that
Is it intuitive? Like, are you psychic? Is it that kind of ability? Or is it more past recall?
It's past recall, but you recognize patterns, so you sort of have intuitions about the future. But it's not like, it's like other. I really think that this is what I think. I think everybody has everything they've ever been through in on their memory hard drive.
Right.
Everybody has everything on their emotional hard drive, especially because you know what I mean? And so you go like that person, or why do I love that person, or why does that, what, you know, what's disturbing about this? So it's all there. I think and the people who have this, we just happen to have an extraordinary retrieval system. So we know how to like access things that other people can't.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you just remember. Because it is hilarious, even when you talk about when people age, like, I don't remember when yesterday. But you remember stuff from...
Crazy details.
I mean, right. And so it's... Isn't there a name, though, for it?
Superior.
Oh, I thought it was called meso memory. Something.
No, it was called hyperthymesia. They went, name.
Okay.
It sounds like a disease. So they call it, like, highly superior autobiographical memory, or HSAM.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And
it's fun.
Is it sometimes... hard. Well, first of all, I was going to say in relationships, because, you know, men already go, you never forget fucking anything. Well, you really don't fucking forget anything.
I know. But see, I have a lot of theories about memory, which I wrote about in a book too. But I really do believe that everyone has something that they remember especially well. I don't care how they say, I don't have a good memory, I have a terrible memory. I always say, no, there's something you remember especially well. It's like in the jigsaw puzzle of your life. What are the hard-edged pieces? So what could you interlock the other memories to? And people remember things like, places they've vacationed, or sports, or relationships they've had, places they've lived, or, you know, whatever it is. And so you have that. And then on top of that, I call that your primary track. And then on top of that, everybody has what I call their dominant sense. You know, they have they're a sight, sound, touch, taste, or smell person. Like I would assume you're an auditory person, you're a sound person,
right? Sure.
In radio and everything. Sure. And so, you know. And
although
so,
that's rapidly going to my hearing.
Your hearing. But so it's, you know, it's, but you can figure out when you cross connect the two, how you receive, retain, then retrieve memories.
Right. Now, can you help me forget things?
I'm not in the business.
Because I hang on to things.
You do?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, like
things an abusive ex said to me that haunt me all night long.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to like, you sort of have to revisit it in a Peggy Sue Got Married way. You know what I mean? You go back, but now you're like on top of the information and the experience because you've processed it in such a way that you can think about how fabulous you are and sucks for them.
Right.
You know,
right.
Things like that.
So what you're saying is I should pretend that I used to fuck Kathleen Turner?
Yeah.
what I meant by that, Sean. I don't. I just went there because
you
come on, you like, know like body heat, Kathleen
you know
Turner.
A good show.
Like I was
oh
talking
body
about,
heat. Yes, because yeah. I when I was doing Chicago on Broadway, yes. She lived in the same building.
She's fantastic.
Yeah. She's great. She didn't. Yeah. She didn't look like body heat, Kathleen.
No,
Turner.
I understand.
Yeah.
Understand
what's up. Not in the elevator with her dog who frightened my son, but that's okay.
Oh my God! So see, she's starting to look at her sucky fueled, Sean. Yes, look what's happening.
And that was on March the 12th.
Blurting out some shit about Kathleen Turner in the elevator. See,
March 12th, 1998, which was
what happened
a
for
Thursday.
What to your son? What happened?
Look it up. March 12th, 1998.
Okay. What happened?
It was a Thursday.
What did her dog
do
to your son?
She had a dog.
Right.
Went
what kind?
Like crazy. Like a big dog.
Oh.
Maybe she was just walking it. Or
right.
She was in the.
Right.
She was in the elevator with a big dog
right.
and my son Joey, who loved dogs.
Right.
And the dog was like this. Yeah.
It was
isn't
scary.
It? March 12th, 1998.
It was a Thursday.
Thank you.
I didn't doubt you, but I double checked.
Do not fuck with Mary Lou Henner's memory because you will lose every time.
I was on
Sean.
A radio show once and they said to me, okay, you got
are they going to test you?
Some Mary Lou Henner.
Don't you hate fucking
and you
morning
get the
lady?
Ticket.
Goes, hey, Mary Lou Henner, here's a quiz for you.
I know. 22 calls later, I went, give the fucking tickets away because you're not going to stump
tickets.
Me.
You're not going to stump me on anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is,
sure.
It really is fascinating, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know what that is. It's a... Okay. All right. Let's move on. Sean,
okay. Let's move on.
Now you just saw her because he's my little millennial stem cell.
Oh,
he's a stem cell.
Now,
so
are
young.
You a brat? Because so many millennials.
No.
Are brats and the ones who are working because there's so many of them out of work.
Right.
The ones who are working, they're not brats. They have a good work ethic and they've been taught well by parents. Right. I wrote a book.
He's
in 19-
one of those.
Good. I wrote a book. That's going to serve you.
That
so
guy
well
over there
life.
Is a stoner. He was really late.
Okay.
That was the late stoner.
Okay.
Hi, Aaron. Love you.
Did someone in your mother or your father, did they smoke?
Yes.
Yeah, see?
All right.
Okay, well, that's... All okay, right. Now we get it.
All right. All look right, how so. Cute he is, though.
Got it.
All right.
Okay, well, that's going to serve you till you're about, you know,
28.
No, all but right. I say to my boys, because they're 20 and 22, because, you know, and they're both working. They've
right.
had jobs since they were 15. I went, you know what you're going to do? Don't ever ask your boss, what should I do? I said, you know what you're going to do?
Right.
If you don't know what to do, clean the break room. You're going to be the first person to get there. You're going to be the last person to leave. You're
right.
going to make yourself useful, make
right.
yourself indispensable, and that's how you're going to learn.
Sean would totally do that if we had a fucking break room. We don't have that, but he would do that. He is...
Yeah, that's
so,
what you need. No brats.
No, he's
no
not.
No brats allowed.
He saw you on something new.
Mm-hmm. Well, right. not that new, because it was no. Party Down.
Party Down.
Party Down okay. was on before Glee.
Oh,
right.
Jane
Lynch
was in
it.
And, yeah.
And then she had to leave.
Yeah.
And I did used to watch Taxi on Nick at Night.
Right, aww, right, right.
The babies are late to the party, but it was great, right?
Yeah, I grew up with it, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
great. It's funny. My kids had never seen Taxi, and we were going to take a trip to the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. This was July 15th, 19. Well, anyway. 2005.
Right.
Uh-huh. June 15th, 2005. And so we were like leaving, and, you know, and I said, oh, you know, no, you can't do this and that. And they said, you can't. No, nobody is watching any videos in the car. That's it. And he went, we'll watch Taxi. And I went,
okay.
Well, you've never seen it. So maybe at night, you know, maybe when we're driving, when it's dark. So they put on the first episode, and I'm listening to it from the front seat. My husband is driving, and well, we're not married then,
yeah.
but, you know, we're driving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I hear, like, just little titters, you know, just little. I went, oh, God, you know, I realize how much there's character development and
right.
not, like, joke.
Yeah, yeah.
By the third episode, Danny DeVito just had to make an entrance, and the boys were laughing.
Oh, that's
you know,
scary.
And they were, you know what I mean? So you really realize how golden that
yeah.
show was in terms of the
yeah.
the people.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what yeah. a cast! What you've worked with some amazing people. I Steve Martin in L.A. Story.
Oh my God,
I
love him so much.
Oh my God,
the shyest person in the world.
Yeah.
Really? The most unlike what you expect his persona
I know.
To be like.
I saw him once in a gym in New York. He was like, do you want to use the mat now? And he was just like, really? And I was like, oh my God, you're Steve Martin. No, it's okay.
The most gorgeous hands you have ever seen in
really?
Your life. When I did the movie with him, I could not believe. In fact, I blew a take because all of a sudden he's driving and I went, like, then they went, what? And I went, oh my God, Steve, you have the most gorgeous hands I've ever seen.
Aww.
And he's got designer colored eyes, as does his mother.
Wow.
And he's, I love him.
Nice.
I think he's incredible.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
What, you've had John Travolta, you did
yeah.
Perfect, you did
a lot of
bunch of things
well,
with
I did,
John. Yeah.
The first job I ever did was
yeah.
was Grease.
Right.
And so, you know, the play Grease, and he was, he was.
I've heard cast. Of him with that, yes.
but not the movie. I'm talking about the show, the Broadway
what is he
show.
Like, what is he like in person? Because you see all the stuff with the Scientology movie and all that stuff.
No, but we've known each other since we're teenagers, so I know him. I have a real history. And then we both did our first Broadway show together, a show called Over Here. So,
what's he like?
He's great. I mean, he's from big fan. He's like a big family guy. Mm-hmm. You know, we instantly connected because not only had I done the show in Chicago from the original production of Grease, but the first day of rehearsal, he wanted to know everything about the history of the show, et cetera, because I had an experience with it already. And he and I realized we had so much in common because we both have three sisters and two brothers. His father sold tires. My father sold cars. His mom taught drama in their basement. My mother taught dancing. In our garage.
In the voting center.
I remembered that. Can you believe I remembered something in front of her?
That's pretty good.
Wow, that was nearly like 34 minutes ago. I remembered that.
Wait, are we already 34 minutes into this?
I don't know. No, I just made that
up. I hope not.
I just made that up.
No, there's so much more to talk about.
I know, right? A lot.
We're only in the 70s.
Yeah. Exactly.
We're only in November 28th, 1972, which was a Tuesday.
You have had a you've had a voluminous dating history. Mary Lou Henner.
I have.
You had a lot of Burt Reynolds related things. Did you date him? You did Cannonball Run.
No, that's probably why I got
Shade.
To work with him five times. I did The Man Who Loved Women.
Right.
Directed by Blake Edwards. And that was the first time I met Burt. And the second time I ever saw him, we were in bed naked together. It was pretty crazy.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
And I was the ninth girl in a row because we all had bed scenes, but I was the only one that was like butt naked.
Right.
So
fantastic.
No, but you know what?
No pasties
you know
or anything?
No. But you know what you do when you have a nude scene?
Method
actress. No, you know what you do? You really work out and you get ready. And the worst thing they could do to you is tell you that they've changed the schedule. It's like, you know, we were going to do it, and now we're going to wait
till
Monday.
A week.
Yeah, it's like, what? My thighs are peaking on Thursday. You can't make it the following Monday. No, you can't. And then you go there, and then they put body makeup on you, and you think like, damn, I look good. You look like a statue and
everything.
Damn,
I would tap me.
I know. And then all of a sudden you get on the set, and you drop your robe, and it's a very close set, and then nobody says anything, and you think like, nobody's going to say anything. Nobody's going to
applause. Can I get some? I was hoping for a free bird, some lighters, some woo-hoo! Like, really?
So second day,
you're like, I don't eat shit, people. Do you understand? I eat fucking bird seed. Let's get some.
All right, go ahead.
Yes, actually, bird seed sounds
but sounds good.
So I worked with him then, and then he asked me to do Cannonball Run. I worked on at his dinner theater. I also did a. He directed like.
I'm sorry. Did I miss something? Did you have sex with him just for pay, or did you actually?
No,
date
I did
him?
Not have sex. I never dated him. I never had sex, which is why I got
so
to work with him.
So it was just a love scene.
Oh,
I see. I understand.
A love scene.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
what happens in a love scene at the moment of when you're supposed to be like where
Where's
are things?
Everybody?
Are things just flopping around?
Oh,
like because you're naked, but
well, we
happening?
Were like postcoital. That was our postcoital.
Oh, postcoital.
The two
scene.
Love scenes that I did with people. Where I was also naked and a strip scene, but that was just on stage in front of people. But the two scenes that I did that were not postcoital, but, you know, actual like montage-y, I had dated both people. One of them was with John Travolta in a movie called Chains of Gold, although it was cut way down. And the other one was with my first ex-husband, my first, you know, husband, Frederick Forrest, who was in Apocalypse Now and nominated for the Rose and everything else.
Sure.
And we did a movie called Hammett. And actually, they shot that scene the day after Thanksgiving. So we split a veggie burger the day before.
Wow, I was just going to say.
I know.
I'd be like,
kind of like
no seconds for me.
Yeah. No, nothing.
I got a Bugley's on camera tomorrow.
But what's funny is that when you do a sex scene, well, actually, I've done other sex scenes, but, you know, kissing scenes. What's interesting is when you do it with somebody you know, it's never as sexy. I don't think so.
But what happens with the naughty bits? Does anything actually happen? Or
no,
is just,
no, it's so technical.
Just
it's
camera
like,
angles.
Don't smush up my face. This is the better side. You know, don't do this. And I didn't say that. The guy did.
Right.
Don't do this. Don't do that. You know what I mean? And it's so technical. It's not the same. But you know what? You watch a movie like Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Right.
And you go, wow, that was chemistry.
Right.
That was sexual chemistry. Right. I'm sure that
was cheating technically, but
cheating technically.
Which just made it extra hot.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. For sure.
I'm sorry. I'm really team Jen. Anyway, I will never
let
go.
Child
never
now?
Let go of that.
Is she going to have a child now that her mom died?
I don't know. Is that what the holdup was?
Oh. You know, sometimes people don't become who they're supposed to be until their parents die.
Wow. Oh, just that's what it is. My mom's 93. That's why I'm a loser, Sean. That's why I'm a loser, because my mom is hanging on.
Yep.
That's why I'm a childless single loser in my basement.
That has nothing to do with your being a single child loser person in a basement. It has more to do with your being able to get away with eating cheese.
Oh. That's why?
Yeah, because your mom. Cheese? Yeah, because your mom knows, you know, no, because you're saying, okay, well, you know, my mom's still alive. I can eat cheese and.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So the minute I stop that, my life will be better?
Yeah.
Wow. Make a note of that. No cheese.
No
cheese. All right.
Look how cute your father is. There's a picture of him.
Right, yeah. My daddy's right there.
I know. And you look like him. I'm seeing how you, there's something about your face.
My,
your lips or something.
Thank you. Okay. Yeah. Thanks very much.
No, that's no one's ever said that to you. No one's ever sat in this chair, looked at you, looked over your shoulder, and said that's your dad, and you resemble him.
No.
Okay, I hope they get an angle. We should take a picture.
Okay,
of that.
Fine. Well, fine. Okay. Now, my point is.
Okay, go ahead.
You've Okay, so never dated Burt Reynolds, but you were did Evening Shade as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I played his wife for 4 years. He personally asked me to do it, and I did it. Yeah.
Very nice. Yes, I remember that. Wait.
It's on again. They have it on TV.
Oh, is it?
Again.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that Harry and Linda?
Harry and Linda Thomason.
Yes.
Yes. Linda Bloodworth.
Friends
Thomason.
Of Clinton's.
Yes. Oh, that's why we all got to go to the inaugural ball.
There you go.
I went to the MTV ball and to the Arkansas ball.
Okay.
Which was cool.
Okay. Are you, what are you feeling about this election currently exactly?
If I were writing this as a story.
Right.
You know who has to win.
Who?
If you were writing this as a story.
Well, Trump.
Of course, maybe not
Trump.
No, I'd say Bernie has to win if it were a movie.
Oh.
But I think Hillary will win.
Yeah. No, but I mean the whole thing. I mean
the whole thing is crazy. Yeah. It's so crazy. It's just, it's the thing is that I don't think anybody who isn't, anyone older than a millennial thinks it's crazy. A millennial is saying like, no, it's like, this is what it's supposed to be, isn't it?
Isn't, you know what I mean? Isn't everyone going to be a reality star that's going to be president?
Exactly. No, but you know what's interesting is that
we're fucked.
Trump, I'll give this to him. He definitely broke the fourth wall of politics.
Jesus.
He and Bernie are the two people who don't sound like politicians.
Yeah.
But
Bernie is a politician. I mean, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He is.
But Trump is a fucking asshole. Let me just say. Can I say
it's
a racist,
you know what,
sexist,
you know what?
Motherfucking asshole?
The problem is that he has inspired something in people. He's like stimulated something
in
people.
Right. People's
that
racist, motherfucking misogynist
terrible.
Assholeness.
No, it's terrible. It's terrible. And I don't even think he realizes it. I really don't.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I really don't.
Really?
Yeah. No, seriously. And it's not that
I want to take a moment to say
you're fired
because that is the most ridiculous thing. I mean, he knows exactly what he's doing. You don't think he knows what he's doing?
I think he knows. I think he wants to win. He's on that path. I don't think he.
Do you think he is hoping?
I don't know.
Oh Jesus!
God, I don't know.
God, Sean. Call.
I just hope that the people who I bet you he would be. Well, I don't know. Gosh, I hope. I hope there's, it's too much violence. It's too much craziness.
Yeah,
it's too much going on.
It is.
On.
Violence is
and
rallies.
I don't think
he's
that,
encouraging
and
violence.
And you know what's funny?
He's,
it's not, that's not his personality. That's what's so weird. The violent part.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes. Mm.
So, I don't know.
Okay. I took a second to mourn for America.
Now, Mary Lou.
Yes, wait. So, no, you have, we talked about this. You've dated a number of very famous men in your, in your travels through show business.
No, I never dated Donald Trump.
Thank God. Thank God. Okay.
Never even flirted with him.
Okay. Okay. Well, then he's already a fucking liar, Sean, because he's like every single woman that ever did Apprentice flirted with
me. That's right.
No. You know how he treated me? He treated me like the girl in high school that, I mean, he tripped once in front of me and he went, oh my gosh, I can't trip in front of Mary Lou Henner. She'll remember that. You know, so he was like fascinated
by
my
dork.
Okay.
I'm eating cheese.
You're eating cheese.
That's why I'm a single loser, Sean. It's the cheese.
In your basement. Don't forget that part.
It is my basement.
No. You said that before.
So, all right. So, wait. Tell us who you've dated and how. Tell us about it.
Okay. Well, who do you want to know? Name somebody that I've dated. I've dated, like, two guys from Taxi.
I don't have the memory to do that. You do.
Yes. Well, I mean, I
dated
them.
Jeff,
but I dated.
Jeff Conaway.
No. Never. Jeff was like my brother. Oh, my God.
Oh,
because not only did I travel with him on the road. During Greece, when Johnny Travolta was playing Duty in the show, which isn't even a character in the movie, Jeff was Danny Zuko. So we all like traveled together on the road and went to, you know,
wait,
all these
you dated
cities.
Who then? Tony Danza?
Tony, yes. Of course, and Judd.
Oh, Judd Hirsch. Judd I totally Hirsch. Forgot about that. Wow.
Yeah. So two great guys. And it never got weird and we all adore each other and you know, I actually kind of inadvertently, not inadvertently, but sort of connected Judd with his first wife.
Oh. So, okay. Yeah. Wow. All right.
Yeah.
So, yes, because
I went to Tony's wedding and, you know, I mean, and Tony came to a bunch of mine. I invited
a bunch of mine. That's fantastic.
All my boyfriends come to my weddings. People go, how do you still get along with you? Two boyfriends were my mother's pallbearers, you know, to bring in the dead parents.
Wow. You know, that says a lot about you because, you know, a lot of people are scorched earth. They never talk to their exes.
No,
I'm like, wow,
no. You love so few people in your life. Right. How could you like, you know, burn them?
Right. You know? So you are just so fantastic that everyone in the universe wants to fuck you. What's that been like for you, Mary Lou Henner?
Not true. Every
well,
famous you know,
man
it's like,
world.
Remember I was saying about the cats in a bag and, you know, being like one of, I think all my sisters were so beautiful. My three sisters were beautiful. And they were. No. I mean, if I showed you a picture of the four of us, you're so hideous. No. I figured out health. So, you know, yeah. But I don't know. It's not that everybody's always wanted to fuck me. It's not like that. It's just, I think I've always really liked people.
Right.
And so I'm friendly, maybe.
Right.
Friendly and people could tell I liked
it. You are friendly.
And you know, Catholic schoolgirls, we perfect a lot of different things.
Oh, honey.
Yeah, wait, are you a Catholic
schoolgirl? I'm gay and I give the meanest blowjob in the world.
I know. Okay.
Fantastic.
We were giving blowjobs.
It's fantastic,
like
Sean.
15, 16 years old because that was a venial sin, whereas penetration
was
the mortal sin.
Thank you. My mom and my sister were both virgins when they got married.
Oh.
And they were married 40 years to my dad. My sister's married almost 50 years. So that was at first I was like, oh, I'm just not going to, whatever.
What?
So I better, you know, because, right? And then I was like, oh, I think I actually don't want to, I want to, you know what I'm saying? So,
Yeah.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
No, but that's what it is. It's like, no, Catholic schoolgirls.
I'm sorry. I did the international symbol for clit licking for those of you that are
watching, listening.
Listen.
Right. Yeah. Only listening. Yes. Yeah. Some people get the audio. Some people get video.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it 50-50 or mostly people listen?
Don't know.
You don't know.
But people know what I mean when I say,
yeah.
Oh, Max, no. No. No.
Not right now.
So, no, not now.
No, but I really do think that it's, yeah. I mean, I think that Catholic school girls.
Yeah.
We figured.
We start much too late, is what you're saying?
No, we like.
When it comes down to faith.
We take the time.
Yes.
You know, we don't. And also, did you go to all girls Catholic school?
No.
Oh, I did.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I went to, you know, boys and girls. I did 12 years hard time.
I did. Well, you do 13 if you start in kindergarten.
Okay.
You know.
Oh.
So you do, yeah, that time.
Wow.
But
we didn't even know how to find
uniform?
A Catholic kindergarten. They would have found one, but there was one.
Did you do uniforms?
Yeah. Oh, God,
how
yes.
great was that?
Well.
You didn't have to think
I
about
don't
it.
Guys think it's hot, but I was like, I looked like a fucking dork in my plaid
No,
thing.
I think it's great because you don't have to worry about the other stuff.
Right. There's not the competitive, what is she wearing?
Sure. Yeah. No, all my kids didn't even go to Catholic school, and they always wore uniforms, except for high school.
Yeah.
But their grade school and middle school is all uniforms.
Yeah.
I like that.
What are the famous men have you fucked, Mary Lou Henner?
It's all in the books. You know, the
I know, but
book.
I haven't read all of them, for God's sake. I only have so much time. You have the energy to write 10 books. I don't even have the energy to fucking read 10 books because I eat cheese, Mary Lou Henner.
I know, it clogs your brain.
And sugar and meat.
And you bet if you ever decide to have a child, don't have
cheese. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen any second because it's not too late.
What's wrong with you?
Look at me. I'm the crib keeper. What's wrong with you?
That's Jamie Lee Curtis's line in, you know, Freaky Friday.
Oh, pardon
you
me.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh.
Mm. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah.
If I ever decide to have children, that's the most hopeful, sweetest thing anyone's ever said to me at my age. If you ever decide, I'm just haven't caught the right man.
How about Janet Jackson? She's having one at 50.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right. That ship has sailed for me as well.
Doesn't matter.
The 50 ship has already sailed. But anyway, what was your point? It was about, what were we saying?
No, you keep asking me about the famous men.
Oh, yes. You fucked that just because people are fascinated. Ordinary people.
Well, I think I've had, like, you know, just mentioning the ones that I had sex with in my first book. I think the two guys from Taxi and Johnny and my husbands and things like that. That's
right. What was what to talk about. I'm not implying you fucked him, but what was Francis Ford Coppola like?
Oh, no, I didn't.
No, of course not.
No. He was, I'll tell you a story about, you know, my, Okay, so my I met my first husband, Frederick Forrest, at a screen test for a movie that we ended up working together. And it was for Dashiell Hammett, who's going to play Hammett. And
right.
I was playing like a woman and that was kind of a muse in his life. And so 2 weeks into the production, and Freddie was completely sober. He said, you know, I'm not drinking anymore and everything else. So he starts doing the job. 2 weeks into the production, we go to Francis's house up in Napa. And he says, you know, Freddie, man, there's something missing. I'm watching the dailies. Something missing. I think it's the hooch. He says, you know, and he pours him a drink. And he says, just swish it around in your mouth and everything else.
Oh, wow.
And he gets him to drink that night.
Wow.
First time in like 6 months because Freddie had given it up. And we're driving home. We have a car that's taking us home. And we have to stop in the middle of the Golden Gate Bridge. And Freddie just gets sick. And then that just like started a whole thing.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Francis Ford Coppola, enabler. Right. Yep. He's in the AA literature now. Really? Just swish it in your mouth? Really?
Yeah. And not swish it the way you did before you said to your, you know, mom and sister, you know.
Right.
What? What? Oh, my God. She just made a blowjob joke. That was fantastic.
No, I just remember your setup.
No, you had to get really good at blowjobs if you were a Catholic girl, right? Because you're like, I'm not going to put
out.
And
you liked him, too.
Because I'm going to wait till I get married.
Were you?
And I liked it. Yeah. A lot of women are like, I loved it.
Okay. Okay. So before you decided that you weren't like, you know, into blowjobs, were you?
No, I was into blowjobs.
Okay. You were into blowjobs. Did you have like a thing for long-haired, bearded Jewish guys? Because when you think about a Catholic schoolgirl looks at the apostles and the disciples and the saints, and they all are long-haired, bearded Jewish guys.
Huh. No, I didn't.
You did.
That was a good theory.
Did you like?
Good try.
Did you like the you know, like the nuns?
No. Oh my God! All my nuns looked like Charles Bronson, pretty much. Most of.
You could tell the nuns.
Sister Dorothy looked like a bulldog in a habit.
The
like,
two the nuns when they had like two male names and they had either two female names or two male names.
Yeah.
You could always tell. All right, my mother, because we had this dancing school in our backyard, you know, we had 200 students between the ages of 2 and 80, including the nuns who came over for stretch classes. My mother used to, like, hang out with the nuns all the time, and she took them bra shopping to Vassarette.
Oh.
So she'd take them to Vassarette and, you know, take them bras, and she also, like, would cut their hair.
They're like, Jesus, did you say Jesus wants your tits to look nice?
Who knew what they were? Hi. Who knew what they looked like underneath the habit? But that's what they did.
Wow.
And so, and my father would drive them on Sundays, and they were a captive audience for me because I was like, I'm going to sing show tunes, you know, like entertain them. Today it's going to be Ethel Merman, you know. Oh, no. All right. Julie Andrews, you know, that kind of thing. And so we had backstage passes to Catholicism, and we were very, very close to the Catholic Church that was right next door. We shared an alley with them.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
that's fantastic.
I guess.
So, Yeah. But you obviously went on to much much greater heights than I did. I stopped at the blowjobs.
I like the harp comes in.
I stopped at the blowjobs.
You know, greater heights sounds like I died because there's a harp involved.
No. Yeah, no, it's a weird thing, right? Seriously, both of my mom and sister are virgins and they got married. So I thought,
really?
Oh, I will be too. And so it's okay to
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but my boyfriend's hung in. My boyfriend's hung in college because I was like,
How'd you lose your virginity?
Listen, this is getting
okay. You've told the story all the time. Have you told the story?
I'll
tell you my story. You tell me your story first.
No, I've told this before and not
okay
on the regular show.
I have never had. I've never had intercourse with a man.
Oh, okay.
I've done everything but literally.
Yeah.
But then at a certain point,
said, the road not taken.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Judd
Hirsch never asked me to fuck him. So I have not
Danza.
I've not had Tony Danza. No, exactly.
But
I've not had your opportunities.
But would you have taken him anyway? Probably not.
I don't know. I think it's a weird confluence of the Catholic upbringing and then falling in love with a woman for the first time. And then at a certain point, I was like, well, I'm not just going to fuck any man. Like,
right.
I
just to
I
have it.
Just to say do it.
Just because I'm going to have a talk show
someday. I'm
going to
be in love and like what? Right. Yeah.
But was your family, did they give you, being Catholic, did they give you any, like, flack about, like, oh, I'm gay?
No. Actually, no.
Yeah.
I didn't tell them for a long time. And then I felt like I lost so much time
you know, thinking they would judge me.
Right.
I was judging them. Oh, they're Republican, right, they're Catholic. That's they were all great about it.
Yeah. In my family, my uncle, who lived upstairs from us with 10 cats, 2 dogs, 2 birds, a skunk, 150 fish, and his boyfriend, Charles, he taught art at the Catholic grammar school next door, and he was Mr. Collis, the art teacher, and he had art classes going on upstairs. He was also the neighborhood astrologist, right, and he ran a cat hospital on our roof. So this is how I grew up, with the dancing school in the backyard, the beauty shop in the kitchen, the art classes going on upstairs, the cat hospital, the whole thing. My uncle and his boyfriend, Charles, got together. They were together longer than any other relationship in my family, still to this day.
Wow.
The most successful relationship, and they're buried next to each other.
Wow.
And they, you know, were together over 50 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So it was like, that was one of our role models. And my family was so accepting of, we didn't even think about it. In fact, I was on the road with Johnny and Jeff and all these people doing Greece. And I got a birthday card. It was my 21st birthday, and I got a birthday card that said, "Love Uncle Dan and Charles." And my girlfriend saw it, and she went, you know, my dressing roommate playing Frenchie, she said, "Love Uncle Dan and Charles. Is your uncle gay?" And I said, "Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so." You know, it didn't even like dawn on me.
Right, right. Wow.
So that's, you know, and then that was like a really strong Catholic family, and it didn't,
it didn't matter.
You know, neighborhood.
Yeah.
It didn't matter.
I think the more important question is, do you any know hot gay girls like that look exactly like you that also stopped sucking dicks that would like to marry me? Okay. Wow.
All right. I'm just saying.
She had to get that in.
That's so cute. Just throwing it out there. So what other famous men are we missing that we want to hear about?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to think of who else I mentioned in the book. I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm sorry to disappoint you. I mean, because I was with, I mean, when I was like with my second husband, 17 years. Actually, do you remember? He's from Buffalo.
Right.
And you guys went like and had a dinner or something.
Yes. Yeah. I fucked him. I'm sorry.
No.
No, I'm just kidding. I didn't. I just blew him. I'm sorry. I really apologize now. But I was so good at it and he heard about it.
Yeah.
I apologize.
And he, And
I didn't do that. I'm lying.
I know. He called me and said, "I don't think she's interested in me."
I don't think so either.
Okay. But he was from Buffalo.
Yes.
So he wanted to have a dinner with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like one of those really faithful people when you're with me.
Yeah.
But then in between, during the sweepstakes period.
Yeah, but during the sweepstakes, you're like, woohoo! You're just like, I'm gonna party like it's my thing.
Woo! But why not?
Why not?
And
why not?
And also, don't forget, I'm from the generation that was kind of in between, you know, like the late 60s, you know, the 70s and 80s, and then all of a sudden it became like AIDS, so everybody had to wear condoms and everybody was being so careful. So I had that like sweet spot of, you know, late 70s, early 80s, where it was like, whoa.
It was just bow chicka bow time every time.
Yeah.
So the new
sex is great, though. I mean, sex, I don't think people.
Sex is fantastic. Well, you have so much energy. Have you ever broken someone's dick? Because you are really, really energetic and a little bit, like you're a little bouncy.
You know?
Is that rude to ask someone if you've broken someone's dick?
What's the longest you've ever had sex?
A long time when you're in love.
8 hours?
Right? Yes.
Yeah. 8 hours. Wow. I know. That's
nicely
like good.
Done. Nicely done.
Man. I know. It means like, there's always stuff to do.
Right.
You might take a break to like, you know.
Right.
Have more sake.
Do some spackle. Oh, more sake.
No. Yeah. I'm saying whatever.
Right.
But no, I mean, I think that people, you know what? I've been teaching classes online at MaryLou.com for a long time, and I talk to women all the time, and I feel that women, is that for like the shameless plug?
Yes.
No, okay.
Yes.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we're taking a break right now anyway.
Right.
Yes. But here's the thing. I think a lot of times women, especially.
Right.
Well, because I have mostly women members. Women like will sit there with their arms folded. They know what they want. They just don't know how to communicate.
Right.
But they're waiting for their guy.
Right.
They're waiting for the guy to do what they think. Men are so, I know this from having sons.
Right.
I know from growing up with brothers.
Right.
I know from having 3 husbands. Men are so simple and lame compared to women.
Yes.
And I think they're just so basic.
Right.
That they are so clueless about what we want.
Right.
And can't figure it out. And they love their moms and they feel like, oh my gosh, you know, and it's so like women have to take more control.
Yes.
And they have to explain more and they have to feel like the confidence to be able to do that rather than standing there with their arms folded.
I've given the best sex advice on this show lately, haven't I, Sean? I'm like, stop circling and touch it.
That's right.
Right?
Circling or what
do you
mean?
You know, circling is good for a while. It's good for a while, but then you're like, fucking touch it.
Get in there.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Pinch.
Not at the moment.
What?
Oh, did you just break up? Did she make you break up with somebody?
Yes, I did.
Did you? She didn't like.
Well, he lives here in the basement. He gets chained in the other room for a while, overnight.
Why is that? Is there a labor practice against that? Do you pay him enough?
No, I pay him. I pay him in weed.
You pay him in weed?
He gets paid in weed.
Oh, I know he does.
He gets paid in purple. He gets paid in Cizerb. In Cizerb. Why?
No, I mean.
Really? Whatever, labor department. I'm in my basement.
Do you think if you were the. Okay, all right, here's my theory.
Yes.
Well, it's not just mine, it's my Vietnamese nutritionist. Okay, here's the thing.
Yes.
Do you know how you get boys or girls? Like if somebody wants to have a boy or a girl.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Somebody's calling because they want to know.
It's probably
the
Francis Ford Coppola for you.
They want an answer. Okay, here's the thing. Do you know how you get boys or girls? Do you know the difference between boy and girl sperm?
No.
Okay. Boy sperm is shaped like a bullet, swims really fast.
Right.
And like, you know, gets there within 24 hours and then dies.
Sure.
Girl sperm is a little rounder, plumper, takes its time swimming. It lives 72
hours. Put on mascara.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So anybody, whichever person is wilder at the moment of conception, you get the opposite.
Oh.
Because if the woman is like really keyed up and there's a tremendous viscosity, the boy's sperm gets there first.
Wow.
Because they're faster swimmers.
Fantastic.
Okay. No, I'm serious.
This is like that Woody Allen film, Everything You Want to Know About Sex,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, it's really true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really true.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
Okay, he's learning something.
I am.
Maybe you don't care because you don't.
No, I don't. Well, whatever. That's all.
That
like
ship has sailed.
Greek to me. Whatever. So stronger swimmers, whatever.
No, but you could. I mean, if you wanted to have a kid, you could turn basic.
I can't. No, I can't. Oh, no, I cannot. This is all gone to dust. There's nothing, Mary Lou, there's nothing down here but like barroom doors, fucking tumbleweeds, a couple of cactuses.
It's tombstone.
Exactly. Sam Elliott's down there. It's just. Yeah.
That's not Sam Elliott.
Something.
Anyway.
Okay. Nothing. Just nothing. Nothing but tumbleweeds rolling through town.
Did you ever want to have a kid? Or no?
No, I did not. No, I didn't. That sounds horrible.
Did your sister want kids? I mean, did she have kids?
Yes.
Oh.
Both of my. Well, my oldest sister did get married till 50,
mm-hmm.
and she adopted. But then my oldest sister has three kids.
Oh, yeah. Are you third girl?
I'm the fourth. I'm the baby. I have nephews and nieces that are 5 years.
No, but what number are you in your own family?
Four, youngest. Youngest four. So
girls?
No, I
four
have
four girls.
What?
Are you four girls?
You have one brother.
I have one brother. I have two sisters.
So
one
you're
brother.
Third girl.
My sisters are about 20 years older than I am. So
uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah. We had six kids in 15 years, but I was third girl.
Third,
like
okay, yeah.
But it was girl. It was my parents were married 5 years. Then they had a girl. 5 years they had another girl. 5 years they had me. Then the next year a boy. Next year a girl.
Did you discuss the whole sperm theory with them, or was that awkward?
No.
Was that awkward?
No, my mother discovered Catholicism, so all of a sudden, nothing's awkward for me. I had my baby on national television. I will tell anything. I will say anything. Yes, I will like.
This is why you're the fantastic happy hour guest ever. And look, that was your vegan food that just got here.
Oh, it did?
I got some good nuts and berries and shit. I don't know, whatever else you eat makes you this
okay,
fantastic.
It's like everybody is like, everybody, oh no, Mary Lou Henner's coming.
No, it was like, oh yay, Mary Lou Henner's coming.
Let's talk about the fact that it has totally changed and people like love this kind of food now. Learn to love the food that loves you.
Right. Right. She's a vegetarian. She's a little dancer friend.
Uh-huh. Oh,
Trish that does vegetarian too.
See?
Her boyfriend, live-in lover.
Okay.
He is not a vegetarian of any kind. He pretends to be to get laid.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Oh, that's good.
She pretends that he is, but
yeah, that's okay. You know what we call that in my family?
If I put like a Flintstone set of ribs in front of him, he eats the whole fucking thing in like one like.
You know what we call that in my family? We have like we have so many different sayings, like a shorthand in my family. People who like come into my family, they almost need like a little, you know, glossary or like a little dictionary. Okay. We call that the Ming Choi period. Because my sister, when she got together with her boyfriend, she hated Chinese food. But for the first year, he loved it. They always went to this place called Ming Choi. So finally, after a year and a half, she said, I hate Chinese food. He said, but you always loved it. She said, that was just to be, you know, nice to you and to like really seal the deal. So we call that Ming Choi. Somebody's like, you're in the Ming Choi period where you're like so agreeable. You like go for anything and anything else. We also have an expression in my family called PF. And it's like it measures the sexual quotient of things. Like you could say, oh, my God, that movie, so much PF in that film. Or is there going to be any PF at this party? Should I wear my glasses? My brother called me the other night. Is there going to be PF? Should I wear my glasses or should I have to put my contacts in? They're kind of bothering me today. Or, wow, those two had no PF. All right, PF stands for penis factor and pussy factor.
Oh.
And it like measures the sexual quotient of people.
Okay.
So like if you go to an audition and you're like watching people,
right,
you could be looks 10, dance, dance 10, looks 3 or whatever. But you'd also like have a PF.
Pussy factor.
Like what? Pussy factor,
penis factor. Right.
PF. Now you don't have to like keep repeating that, but you just go PF.
No, but I am going to repeat it like every day now.
Okay. You have tons of PF and you know it.
What does that mean?
You have pussy factor.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, I know. She's like, she's like annoying already. I mean, one drink and she's like annoying already because she doesn't realize you like put yourself down.
No,
too
Trish
much.
Just said that to me yesterday. She said any woman that's ever fucked you, it's like your penis must be like wine and roses and cookies and freedom because they never get over
it. She sounds like Julie Andrews. What?
Right? Yes. My vagina is like wine and roses, Sean, and cookies and freedom, all wrapped into one.
No one can stay away.
No, no one can ever stay away.
Oh, so she's got like hangers on. Oh.
Yeah.
No. Oh no.
Oh my God. Oh
I'm
no, it's like a Venus flytrap. Yeah.
Feed
me.
Yeah, it's right, like it's like yeah.
Yeah. All right, Mary
it's
Lou
like
Henner.
Audrey 1 and 2.
Yes.
We gotta go eat your vegan food.
That's
the book,
it.
The new
this
book
is over.
The new book is Changing Normal. You are a fucking force of nature. You are delightful, and
thank you.
Listen. Well, I mean, I like everyone else in the world would fuck you if you were straight and married. But you are fantastic. That's why everyone wants to read your books and find out how to be you, either to be you or fuck you. If you want to either be Mary Lou Henner or fuck her, and who doesn't? Buy the new
follow
book.
Follow me on Twitter. No.
Yes. Like, yes.
No. I'm making a joke. Oh, no, but follow me on Twitter.
Yes.
At The Real Mary Lou.
Yes.
My assistant did that when we first got on. I should probably change it, but it's The Real Mary
Lou.
No,
it's fantastic.
Okay.
Buy her all fucking 10 books before she writes another one.
I'm working on one now. It's coming out. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway.
Of course you are. Okay. Look at her. She just took like broccoli and sake. That's the diet, everybody. Broccoli and sake. Just do it. Love you, Mary Lou Henner.
Love you too.
Fucking awesome.
Thank you.
God.